This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back in the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Good Morning NoCo, presented by Lemons Heating and Cooling. Micah Kilpatrick doing the production work here this morning as Brian is out of town. Want to remind you, if you haven't done it yet, it is our monthly giveaway for a free grooming for your pet, your cat, or your dog at Earthwise Pet in Greeley. All you have to do is go and comment a picture of your cat or your dog on our social media page or text us 888-530-0043 and I will select a winner today at the end of the show. Joining us now on the Clearwater Products Hotline, it is Evan Hyatt, the president of Pathways. Evan, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Tanner. I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. And how excited did you get when you heard that Brian wasn't here today?
Well, I got excited for you, Tanner.
Evan, you got to get to know Brian's replacement here with Micah, and then we can talk about that, my friend.
Oh, okay.
Brian's out in low. Brian's in Lodi, California, right now, drinking wine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know Brian was a wine drinker, but good for him.
Yeah. You know, we do that segment every Friday morning, Wine at 9, and he is a converted wine drinker here now. So I know he was looking forward to it, but happy for him out there. Evan, how have things been going at Pathways? What have you been up to?
Oh, gosh, just staying busy, Tanner. And a lot of great things going on here. We're serving as many people as we can, which is always good. But then, I don't know if you were aware, but November is National Hospice and Palliative Care Month. I think just about everybody has a month or a week these days. And so
sure.
November is, and we really take that time. One, we put out a lot of education and information it's an opportunity to raise awareness about hospice and palliative care and what we do, but we also really use it as a time to celebrate our staff, our volunteers, let them know how much we appreciate them for all the great work that they do.
Well, it's so important too, because Evan, we've talked a little bit about this, but we know how hard just the conversation surrounding hospice can be. And yet when that's your livelihood, is every day going there and providing those services that are so crucial and essential for so many people here in Northern Colorado, I would imagine that takes a toll on people, Evan, on your staff, I mean.
Oh, it absolutely does, Tanner. There's sometimes the forgotten folks in this. They're there doing their job, and just like you and I, we have jobs, but theirs is very different and much more impactful. And so it can take a toll. And so we try and do a lot of things to help them make sure they're taking care of themselves. They have outlets to talk about things with some of our counselors and other people when things get heavy on them. But I don't do the work they do every day, so I can't really put myself in there. But you can only imagine the stuff that they see and feel and come in contact with every day.
Yeah, I'm so thankful that your staff is willing to do what they do, because there's a lot of jobs that like I look at and I'm like, oh, I could maybe do that, or I could maybe do that. This is one, Evan, that I don't think I could do. I mean, the work that your staff does. And so what are some of those things that you guys will be doing coming up in November to honor and kind of celebrate your staff over there at Pathways?
Sure. One of the fun things we do every year that I look forward to is, it's kind of like in the tradition of the Boxing Day where we switch roles. And no, Evan, you're not going to have Evan come out and be a nurse. I don't mean like that.
Nobody wants that, Evan.
Nobody wants that. But we do a yearly annual breakfast for them. That's on November 7th, where the managers cook up all kinds of stuff for them. And they get to come and just sit down and for a little while just have breakfast and talk to each other. And at that same place, we have a lot of prizes and giveaways for them, try and do some things there. And then one thing, we have a relationship developed with Hearts and Horses in Loveland. It's a therapeutic riding stable. Mm. I don't know if you remember. And they have two miniature donkeys. Their names are Paco and Levi. And we have Paco and Levi come over, and it's almost like pet therapy in a way. You cannot help but feel good and smile when you see these miniature donkeys. And so they're part of the breakfast, and that's just one of the things we do to try and lift spirits and help people out.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Animals have that healing ability, and I think we've had those conversations about those. And yeah, I don't know who's not going to smile when they see a miniature donkey walk through the door. Was that your idea, Evan? How long have you been doing that for?
Well, I probably could take credit for that one, Brian. My wife's a volunteer. Or Brian, I'm sorry. Tanner, please forgive me. Oh, my God.
I'll consider it.
Terrible. My wife's a volunteer there, so that's how we got connected. But we have them come four times a year. We actually have a donor who donated money to help cover the cost of that, which was so great. And they usually come and go visit our inpatient care center. And you should see, you know, the family members, the patients, when these donkeys come into the room, it's just unbelievable how they light up. And, you know, for that maybe one last time, they're getting to interact with nothing but, you know, unconditional love in a way.
Right.
It's like when we pet therapy with dogs and things like that come through. And so we have them four times a year.
Well, and it seems so simple, yet the profound impact that it makes is incredible. We're visiting with Evan Hyatt, the president over at Pathways. And Evan, over the weekend, Brian and I emceed High Plains Honor Flight Freedom Fest, their annual event. And man, there was an individual, a veteran who spoke, Brian Ivers. He is Master Gunnery Sergeant Brian Ivers. He's Fort Collins Police Department personnel now, but he served 10 tours, seven of them after 9/11 happened. And I got to tell you, there wasn't a person who didn't either have tears in their eyes or weren't ready to run through a wall after he spoke about what these veterans have gone through and what they give. And we've got Veterans Day coming up next week, or 2 weeks, excuse me. Evan, what are you guys doing? I know you guys work with veterans as well. What do you guys have planned for that?
Sure. You're absolutely right, Tanner, and you know, to not honor these men and women who have served would just be a shame. And so we do try in our own way. We do have a special program called We Honor Veterans that's within our care. It's a specialized program of caring for veterans that was done in collaboration with the Veterans Administration. And so that includes everything from like pinning ceremonies for these veterans at end of life. But really, the main way we interact is we have a group of volunteer veterans in our program. They come to us and they want to go out and help veterans through this critical time when they're at end of life. And it's so meaningful when we can have a veteran go out and interact and talk with another veteran. You know, because they share experiences that I've not had. I'm not a veteran, and only veterans, you know, can understand that. So that's a big part of our program. And then probably one of the most outward looking things, we are part of the Veterans Parade in Loveland on November 11th. And it's not hard to find people here at Pathways who want to participate in that. So that's one of the other things we do.
No, I love it, man, and I love the self-recognition to say, hey, that is such a close bond that veterans share with one another, and to, you know, facilitate where you're getting people who speak their language. You know, I see that a lot, and when visiting with the veterans who go on those freedom those flights back to Washington D.C. to see those memorials, just that camaraderie is incredible to see, and I think that's very well done by you, Evan.
Well, we appreciate that. And at any given time, about 25% of the patients that we're caring for are veterans. They've had some service. And so that's one in four. So we have to do things to, one, recognize that, and then to do things that address the special needs that veterans have at the end of life. But we feel it's just part of our mission.
Well, you guys do a wonderful job at it. Evan Hyatt, the president of Pathways, joining me this morning. And that's got to be, you know, I guess this might be a weird question, Evan, but because I know you take such great care of all of the people who are using your services. But do you feel a little extra pressure when there is somebody who has given so much to the country to make sure that all of their wishes are met?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, what do you mean?
Just personally, for you and your staff, I mean, when there's a veteran there, do you just feel like okay, we've got to do whatever and everything that we can to make sure that they are taken care of? You know, I know you feel that way with all of your clientele, so it's probably a bad question by me, Evan, but is there a little added pressure when there is a veteran?
Well, I would say yes, and not only with veterans, but then other... As you recognize, Tanner, you know, all of our people are important at end of life. There's only one chance to do this. And so I think that's why we do try and add to our expertise, educate our staff, but absolutely, you know, recognizing that veterans are a special population and have special needs, we absolutely do. Are on our best game, you might say.
Yeah, I appreciate that answer. Again, Evan, I'm sorry, I'll be better with my question asking. It's almost like I'm trained to do this, but that was payback for you calling me Brian earlier.
Well, okay, I appreciate that.
Evan, also coming up November 7th, it's Caregiver Appreciation Day.
Yeah, this is something we participate in as a sponsor because we think it's important. It's not actually our program, but it's right there in Greeley. There's a Caregiver Appreciation Day. I think they do this. It's been going on many years. It's at the Academy of Natural Therapy on 8th Avenue there in Greeley from 10 to 11:30. And it's free. But really what this is meant to do is there are so many people out there. I think the latest estimate I have seen is about 60 million, believe it or not, Tanner, people in this country who are caring for a loved one in some way or another.
Wow.
And this happens in hospice care. You know, we can't be there, as we've talked about, 24/7. So there is usually a caregiver. There has to be a full-time caregiver. It's usually a spouse or an adult child or a friend. And caregiving is a very daunting and tiresome job that's usually unpaid.
Right.
You know, these people are doing this for free. And so this is a day to recognize what those caregivers do, provide a little bit of pampering, you might say, and a chance to maybe rejuvenate. They're doing massages at this event. There's manicures. There's ways to just rejuvenate and talk to people about really just how challenging caregiving can be.
And I don't think, Evan, for anybody who hasn't been in that situation, I don't think we can fully understand the scope of everything that it involves. I mean, it can consume you.
Oh, yes, for sure. And especially if you're not familiar with what resources are out there that maybe help you, who can you reach out for help? And I think that's what people can also find at this Caregiver Appreciation Day, at least some information on what are my resources around me that could help me.
Absolutely. And that is November 7th at the Academy of Natural Therapy. Evan, thanks so much for your time today, my friend. Keep up the great work. And I do hope that you and your staff feel recognized and the appreciation that we all feel for you guys coming up in November, but not just in November, at all times. Evan, you guys do tremendous work at Pathways, and we appreciate the time this morning.
Well, thank you, Tanner. I'm going to make sure I say Tanner.
That's appreciated.
Yeah, and we'll do all we can to appreciate our folks and maybe listeners out there, just maybe give a thumbs up to a hospice worker if you have the chance.
Absolutely, my friend. Evan, thanks so much, my friend. We'll catch up with you next month.
All right, Tanner, thank you.
Thank you. There's Evan Hyatt, to the president at Pathways. Appreciate their organization, pathways-care.org. That's pathways-care.org. 9:20 the time now. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. Going to talk some Colorado Avalanche hockey with the dude down the hall. Derps, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. But this news just came across. I just saw this. The Denver Broncos are signing a tight end. Nate Atkins going down with an injury. You remember Mercedes Lewis, the tight end? He had a lot of years with Jacksonville and then bounced around all over the place. 41-year-old tight end Mercedes Lewis just got signed by the Denver Broncos.
That seems like a waste of a roster spot.
He has a great call.
Now, they signed him on the practice squad. If they promote him to their active roster to play in a game, he would become the oldest tight end to play in a game in NFL history in the Super Bowl era. No tight end at age 41 or older has played in an NFL game.
What does that say about, like, the other two or three tight ends on the roster right now?
So, because Lucas Kroll just underwent foot surgery. Nate Atkins now out. So they're down to Troutman and Evan Engram. Mm-hmm. And so they need that the blocking tight end. So they bring in Mercedes Lewis. Only two players, according to Adam Schefter, in NFL history have caught a pass at 41-plus years old. Can you name the two players who have caught a pass at 41 years or older?
Antonio Gates?
No.
Nuts.
Mikey, you were leaning in.
Who? Tony Gonzalez?
No. Mikey, you got a guess?
No. I mean, those were going to be my guesses, but then I'm like, no, that would be too obvious.
One of them was on the Denver Broncos preseason squad. Once he played in a couple preseason games, Jerry Rice and Tom Brady.
Oh, you're going pass catchers. I thought you were going tight ends.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, just pass catchers. Yeah.
Yes.
Jerry Rice and Tom Brady.
I would have got Jerry Rice. Tom Brady, no chance.
No, not a chance. Rice did it in many games in 2003 and 2004. Brady had one reception at 41 years old in 2018.
Very good.
So, Mercedes Lewis could join elite company there. Derbs, the Colorado Avalanche last night taking on the New Jersey Devils. The Devils are hot right now, 8-1 going into last night's game. And what got into the power play?
Olofsson is getting more comfortable. I think he kind of makes things go a little bit, and then they put Val in the bumper spot, and he's just a large human. And all of those kind of things work together. I think shifting Brock Nelson down to the power play two and having Brindley on the other side of that works a little bit better, because then you have the speed and the tipping thing there too. So I just think it's the coaching and the meshing of the beginning part of a season here.
So they put Nichushkin back on. I didn't get a chance to watch last night, but they put Nichushkin back on power play one.
Correct, yeah.
And we were talking about that. I think that's what they need to do in overtime as well, yeah. Instead of pairing Marty and McKinnon together, because I'm not comparing Marty to McKinnon, but they play a similar style. Uh-huh. And that's why I think that's huge. But thought this game was going to be a blowout, 5-0, and all of a sudden here come the Devils. Scott Wedgwood needs a legit night off at this point.
I just see so much volume every night that it's just kind of the style that the Avalanche want to play is just going to lead to a lot of opportunities on the other side. And if they could rotate three goalies, that would probably be the right idea because, I mean, they're going to see anywhere from 25 to 40 shots a night. And that's just a lot of wear and tear. That's just a lot of time in your own zone. When you have all the pace going the other direction, just the ice is open there.
No, it certainly is. And did I not see that they put Trent Miner on waivers for reassignment.
Correct, yep. So, Blackwood should probably go the next
Thursday,
game.
Right? Yeah, Thursday. Because he backed up Wedgwood last night. And this is kind of the weird thought in my brain. Is like, if he's healthy enough to be the backup, why is he not going to give Wedgwood a night off?
Yeah, I mean, we're 8 games in or whatever, 9 games in. Like, that's just a meh point.
Yeah, not
real important.
Finally get a win in regulation, 6-1-4 now for the Colorado Avalanche. Boy, when they get help from their second and third lines, they're impossible to beat. Mm-hmm. Zakhar Barkov last night with a goal. Olofsson gets the hat trick. Parker Kelly, I love when Parker Kelly scores a goal. That dude is the hardest working player on the ice night in and night out.
Yeah, they put Landeskog on the third line, and that helps those guys because it's a steady piece. We were always going to say that Gabe is the steady guy out there. I don't think he's quite ready for the ice time, and having 13 or 15 minutes of quality time of Landeskog with Kelly, Brindley, Barkov kind of mixing and matching there on the third and fourths really helped those young guys. I think that's a very good move, and also a good part on Gabe's understanding that maybe I'm not ready for all that ice time yet.
That or, I think that conversation maybe starts happening too, if this is just who he is now. Yep. After the injury. Uh-huh. Is he's a third line guy. He did get an assist last night. He took one shot, but only 12 minutes and 50 seconds of ice time. Yep. Which is very similar to what he had in the playoffs. Where is there a team in hockey that you like their odds better to win the Stanley Cup than the Colorado Avalanche right now?
No, but there's a handful of teams that are very good still. The Carolina is very good. Still Dallas is good. Still Edmonton is good. Utah
figured it out a little bit last night.
Utah will be a surprising team. They're going to give a lot of teams some problems. If they just get a tiny bit of goaltending, they're very good. But no. To answer your question, I don't. I think it's for the Avs taking.
Avs tied for the most points in the NHL with the fewest actual win number in the win column. That's what happens when you tie 4 times or lose.
They get point in overtime.
They do get point, mm-hmm. And that's the end goal, is to get, well, points. You prefer points, but if you get a point, you're still winning.
Point is still pretty good.
Yeah, point is still pretty mm-hmm. good. 9:32 the time now. We're going to talk Front Range Spare Change. And you're going to be on the selection committee. Our right-hand construction poll question, we're giving away a free grooming to a cat or a dog to Earth Wise Pet, and you're going to help me select the winner here as we wrap up the show today. You in on that?
I like dogs and cats.
It is National Cat Day, so you can tickle their belly.
Oh, and they'll smile at you and wave their paws.
9:32 the time now. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo.
I've been down the Mississippi, down through New Orleans.
It's no Dwight Yoakam, but it'll do.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
What's Dwight Yoakam?
Do you enjoy that music?
No.
Well, don't play it.
It's in your playlist.
I don't care. Does that match anything that, well, like, that would have been great right before we talked about the cattle market, which Derbs I'm scared about, but.
Cows.
But did that match? Hey, Avalanche, oh, they're doing really good. Going to win the championship. Down in Mississippi. Micah?
It matches you.
He was so bad in the 6 o'clock hour Derbs that, thankfully, thank God, Brady was here to do a segment because...
Mm-hmm. Well, the Michael doesn't arise before about 11 p.m.
Yes,
so
correct.
6 a.m. is a rough scene for him.
We had texters yesterday asking if you knew how to run the board.
Oh, pretty good.
They wanted us to do a show together.
I can push buttons.
That's about all... I get out of Michael, or I wish.
The right ones, I cannot speak for, but I can push them.
I believe that.
Simmer down, Pot Roast.
Don't laugh at him. You're just
that was pretty good.
Just encouraging him.
Yes.
There's a lot of really... Why is Sam just commenting on our Facebook page, our poll question, show us a picture of your cat or dog, and you could win a free grooming to Earthwise Pet. And Sam just comments, go Dodgers! Well, that's not happening, Sam. Like... Can you get into the World Series?
I watched a little bit of it last night, actually. I didn't catch any of pretty much so any of the 18-inning game.
That's tough to do.
Yeah.
I didn't either, actually. I can't buy into it, dude. I don't know why. It's setting up for an all-timer, and I can't get into it.
To me, it conflicts the other schedule. Like, baseball, to me, should be done a month ago. Like, before basketball and hockey starts, for me, and college football, for that fact. It's just too long.
I also look at it and say both of these teams are the reason why I think MLB is going to kill itself at some point is because you get the number 5 and the number 1 teams in terms of payroll out there. So this World Series is, and I'm sure viewership's way up, and I hope it's not, but I can't do it.
Yeah, but it leads to a good product. Like, I mean, the games are incredible. So, I mean, I guess I don't. The money thing, we'll always disagree on that because I don't care on that.
Shohei Ohtani, greatest baseball player to ever do it.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody put it in this way, and I hadn't even thought of it this way, but it's very true. The Blue Jays are walking him, right? He was on base 9 times the other night. He was 5 for 5 with 4 walks. Mm-hmm. First time it had happened since 1942. Oh. That's pre-Pearl Harbor. Oh. Like, that's how long back we're going. He's on base 9 times, then comes around, pitches 6 innings last night. Obviously not the result that he was looking for. But they're walking Shohei Ohtani to get to 9-time All-Star, 2-time MVP Mookie Betts, 8-time All-Star, 1-time MVP Freddie Freeman. They're walking to get to that guy.
Yeah, he's a special talent. I mean, he is one of the few, because you get the 5-tool thrown around way too often, and he's like
6 tools, because he can pitch too.
He's legit probably the only really one that you can say, you know what, he is that.
Yeah, he might be the goat of goats, to be honest with you. I mean, we've never seen that. The game against the Brewers in the NLCS, like when he struck out 10 and hit, was it 3 or 4 home runs?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's never, when you're doing stuff that's never been done before and will never be done again, in my opinion, he's maybe the goat among goats. Text here from the 303, World Series is the best. I just can't get into it, and it makes my body sick.
If these two teams were playing a month ago for this same thing, I would never change the channel.
That's fair. But all right, let's talk Front Range Spare Change. Yeah, we'll talk some college football, kind of where you're at. And I want to get your thoughts. The line is out early on the UNC game, taking on Montana State. I want to get your thoughts on what that line is on the other side as well. But first, let's get to the KFKA News and Sports Center.
It's a Smash Mouth is version of Never Gonna Give You Up.
Don't ever do that again. And so do I. That should be Rick Astley and him alone. I don't even get. Okay, that's enough Smash Mouth. I wish so badly that window wasn't there. That was a direct hit. I just threw a pen at Micah. Derb's Front Range Spare Change. How'd you guys do last week?
We were all right. We whiffed on one game, but we were all right.
Let me guess. The CSU game?
No, we were okay there. Yeah. CU.
Was it odd or even?
CU, yeah. That will be next week. CU was bad. We thought that would be a perfect letdown spot for Utah, and that wasn't the case.
No.
4-3, 37-34 overall. I mean, like, it's not great, but it's not terrible either.
No, you're winning.
Yep.
Especially trying to find bets with the state of college football right now in this state, mm-hmm, is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's tough. Thankfully, we incorporated Nebraska in and Hawaii in. those two teams seem to save us every week. This week, I actually feel pretty good about the slate. We made quite a few plays.
Because CSU's not playing.
Yeah, and Wyoming plays San Diego State, and those teams are basically the same. So, I actually kind of feel pretty good here.
Okay, you're going 0 for.
Going to be like 0 for 9,
yes,
for sure.
Correct. Want to throw it out there, and of course the line wasn't out yet when you guys recorded this Front Range Spare Change. Guesses on what the line is. Whose line is it anyways? UNC Montana State. Montana State number 4 in the country.
Well, if UC Davis and Sac State were in the 13, it's got to be another touchdown from there. So 20 plus, probably.
24 and a half. That line did move Saturday again on the UNC game. It got down to 8.5 is where it was at. Of course, I looked at Ed Lamb this morning and said, I'm done picking against you guys, I think, it's every single time. That guy's, that would be fun to go back and look at his record against the spread.
Yeah, it's probably pretty good.
It's been, he hasn't, they haven't not covered once this year, if memory serves. Anyhow, so what your best spot this weekend in terms of responsibly gambling is where?
Hawaii. We're going to go on the late show. Yeah, they get San Jose State. And then we also, the Air Force Army game. We like some sides there. Both of those games, we kind of have 1A, 1B.
Hawaii at San Jose State.
Yeah. We just think the line's wrong. They opened up as an underdog, as a 6-2 team and a 2-win team. San Jose State is better than their record. Just what San Jose State does well is kind of the strength of Hawaii's defense. And San Jose doesn't stop the pass. And literally, like, you might see 50 passes from Alejado in that Hawaii offense. So we expect some points and some fireworks, and we think that one team is better than the other there.
That's interesting. That'll be a fun late game on Saturday night. You mentioned San Diego State and Wyoming this week. Obviously, records would tell you that this should be a blowout. San Diego State 6-1, 3-0 in conference play. What did your numbers say about this?
Statistically, these two teams are pretty much so the same. They are even. Both teams don't score, typically, and both teams play great defense, typically. So I don't exactly know what to think still on the Wyoming side. There's just so many changes, and it looked fluid for a half last week, and then a half that's like, you would think that in a rivalry game, that if they wanted to put up 50, they could have put up 50, and then they put up a goose egg in the second half. So it's still one of those things that's hard to tell.
It was those halftime adjustments by Tyson Summers.
Yeah, that was it. So we just think like this is going to be a grinded out kind of game. You would think that San Diego State should win by 100 here.
They opened on ESPN Bet, your favorite sportsbook. 10.5 is where they opened up.
Yeah, it was 10.5 last night as well. So when we were going through all this,
I don't know where you're going. Of course, Front Range Spare Change coming out. What time today, Micah? And where can you find Front Range Spare Change? What time will that podcast come out? Where can you find it?
Well, you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, 1310kfka.com, and it will be out at noon.
At noon today, so this will be out there. So I haven't heard it. I don't know where you're going. 10.5 in a grinded out game seems like a lot.
It seems like a lot to me. We didn't pick a side. But we played a couple other angles that we think are interesting and for some better plus money there. If I'm a Wyoming fan, I'm probably a little disrespected with that. That seems like a lot for two teams that are similar.
Yeah, and again, maybe it's just that record. Why? How difficult is it? Because I think in other conferences, you can see a real clear separation from the top-end teams to the bottom-end teams. I don't think you get that in the Mountain West. How difficult has this been for you?
Yeah, this has really actually changed my process a lot, and in a good way, of evaluating things. It is difficult. So for what Clayton and I do, we basically break down like just the conference anymore. So it comes down to, well, if they're 50th ranked nationally, what are they in the conference? Is that first? Is that second? Is that third? And just kind of shrink in a little bit, because typically we're talking about teams that are honestly like 75th or worse nationally. And when you're trying to do that and look at a national scape of stats and analytics and all of that, you're like, gosh, all these teams are just bad. So you have to kind of shrink it in and really go, well, if they're 120th against the pass, is that really that bad? Like, how many yards are they actually giving up? So it's actually kind of refined the process a little bit. It is difficult still because
forcing you to take another step.
Yeah, and the range of outcomes is still large with these teams because, you know, we've seen it out of CSU. You know, one week they'll put up 49 and the next week they'll score none. And same with pretty much so all the teams. The static to us right now is pretty much so UNLV, Air Force, Boise State, and a little bit of San Diego State. I'm not ready to throw them in there, but those three teams, you pretty much so know what you're going to get every week. Air Force is going to put up a lot of points. They're going to give up a lot of points. UNLV, the same thing. Boise State, pretty solid on both sides.
Visiting with the dude down the hall, co-host of Front Range Spare Change. You talked me into CU last week. Mm-hmm. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
I feel like, hopefully, because you and I, we talk a lot about this stuff off the air as well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I give you your flowers as much as I give you, because it's always fun, right?
Oh, yeah.
And at the end of the day, I'm the one hitting the buttons.
Yeah, 100%.
So you can say whatever you want, but I'm the one hitting the buttons. Mm-hmm. But it's always fun to mess with your boys. This one can't miss, right?
Always. It's always. And then you're about a half an hour in, and you're like, oh, my God, why did I do that?
Yeah, there was a great meme going around the internet, or a great video going around the internet. It's all just clips of John Krasinski from The Office when he breaks the fourth wall and looks into the camera. It's like when your friends come to you because you're the UFC guy, and your guy gets knocked out in 30 seconds. That's what I love about this, but followed you into the abyss that was CU at Utah last week.
Yeah.
Worried about CU? Are we worried about them now? Because you've remained optimistic and said, okay, you just got to change where you're going. They're not an elite team, but are they even an okay team at this point? 3-5, 1-4 in conference play.
Yeah, they're an okay team. They're about average. I expect them to still win probably six games or so, five or six games.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Tell me where those are at. Home against Arizona,
uh-huh.
At West Virginia,
uh-huh.
Home against Arizona State,
uh-huh.
And at Kansas State.
Yeah, I still this weekend will tell a lot, honestly, because Arizona is good. What Arizona does fits CU's defense. Mm-hmm. So if Arizona goes in there and they hang 40 in Boulder, probably have a little different opinion. But they're a solid team. They're just not cohesive.
Yeah, and Prime just said, listen, Utah just gave the blueprint on how to beat us this bad. I don't love hearing that from the head coach. Like, hey, they took advantage of a couple things that we haven't been great at this year. We'll be right back. Like, I would almost prefer coach speak at that point.
Yeah, I guess.
Everyone knows how to beat us now. Like,
yeah.
So what are you going to do? I guess maybe I should reserve judgment until Saturday to see if they do anything different.
Yeah, and we think differently on a lot of these things because, like, what they say, I literally, that's like 1% of me taking
sure.
anything for it. CU to me is just.
I think you just summed it up right there with that sigh into the microphone. I think that's it.
They should be better, but they're not. I think the conference is better than what they are. And we got to be real, too. Utah was the number one rushing team in all the country. So them running all over them when they typically can't stop the speed actions. CU does well at stopping traditional plays. They do a very poor job of stopping untraditional plays. So it's like when you get a team, especially with the backup quarterback, that's going to use his legs more and they run that read option. And a lot of thing is read and react. Well, they don't read and react very well. They like if you line up in a single back and all those things, like they're okay there. They're taught well there. But they don't do well with unconventional things, and that's literally all Utah did, and that's how you get to 50 points real fast.
Thoughts on this trick play that I would like to see somebody implement, okay? Been thinking about this.
Pitch it forward?
No, don't do that.
Oh, okay.
The pump fake flea flicker. Hand the ball off to the running back. He runs up to the line of scrimmage, acts like he's tossing it back, and then runs. I think it's pretty good. I'll let that one marinate for a second. Hmm. We're going to see who's winning the free grooming from Earthwise Pet when we come back on the other side. You're listening to Good Morning NoCo. All right, we've got our winner of the free grooming to Earthwise Pet. And we've got his second place first, so I'm sorry you don't win anything, but I just want the recognition you deserve. Second place goes to D-Shry with Izzy Girl,
mm-hmm.
who texts in. She looked like a very good dog.
Yes.
But the winner is Zach with his old doggo. What breed is that? Is it like an Australian Shepherd mix?
Yeah, it kind of looks like it, yeah. It's got the black and gray and, honestly, the frost white tones all over the face.
Yes.
It's cute.
No cats?
No cats today. No cats were nominated today. So Zach is the winner of the free grooming to Earthwise Pet. Here on National Cat Day, we're picking a dog to get the grooming. But you know what? Congratulations to Zach. We'll get in contact with you, and Tim will hook you up over there at Earthwise Pet. Couple of final thoughts from me. The NHL scheduling is dumb. 16 games last night, one game tonight. I don't care. So thought that was dumb. World Series, man, I got to find a way to try and find motivation to watch. I love baseball. I can't buy into it. I don't know why.
It's great baseball.
It is very – maybe that's why I don't like it.
Yeah, you're used to
the Rockies.
Give me about six errors and about nine home runs and I'm back in.
Yeah, correct. That's more familiar with what I'm used to watching. 6 o'clock tonight, Toronto Blue Jays taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers. Texter here just distracted the hell out of me. Texter from the 512, if he plays Smash Mouth again, I'm throwing bread at him. Micah, you've now had a...
Oh, that's a good reference.
I hate you. Bruce, how do you do this? I don't understand how Bruce does this. At least it's just an hour that Bruce has to deal with this. I don't know how Brady does it. I don't understand.
They keep their headphones on.
Will you come and co-host with me tomorrow?
You should look up Smash Mouth throwing bread.
You should. Actually, that was a pretty good reference there. All right. Coach Speak coming up next. Whole show 11 to 2 today. As Derbs would say, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.